The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Mathurin inside, left-handed, off the glass. The Mathurin magic here in Game 3. Mathurin fires away, pots it in. Mathurin madness. He's got 25 on 9 of 11 from the field.
This crowd has been standing most of the fourth quarter. They've waited 25 years for a finals game at home. Nimhard pushes, brings it back out. Shot clock turned off. OKC's not going to foul. Now Siakam inside. And that will do it. Finishing touches. Final seconds. And they are celebrating here in Indianapolis. The Pacers' dream of their first NBA title very much alive. They're two wins away from a championship.
This is Cleveland Sports Radio, 92.3 The Fan.
I watched that game yesterday, audio courtesy of ABC and the NBA, where you can't put the finals on the court, apparently, because everybody it turns into a slip and slide. That later on. Not now, but later on.
That makes no sense to me.
It doesn't make any sense. Well, I got a bigger question for you later. You're gonna have to take off your insider glasses and actually have some fun with it if we're gonna ask the question. Anyway, I watched a game last night. I'm watching all these players I had this thought. I says it's like getting close to the end of the third quarter. And I see all these guys, and I'm going, man, I watched Kobe in the finals. I watched Michael Jordan in the finals, obviously. I watched Kobe in the finals. Shaq, LeBron, the who's who. Steph Curry, the who's who. I mean, the icons in the last 30 years in the NBA finals. And I'm going, man, Chet Holmgren was a high draft pick. Tyrese Halliburton is a name. But I'm watching guys like T.J. McConnell looks like he should be playing in a CYO game and he should be reffing high school basketball compared to the other ones out there. And that's going to sound like I ripped him, and it kind of is, but I'm going, I just have a lot of respect for everybody out here on the floor. And then I'm listening to Mike Breen and Doris Burke, and obviously I'm going, you know what I got? I just have a lot of respect for everything on the broadcast.
Everybody
right
involved?
Now. I got, for the broadcasters to the players.
What about the halftime crew?
I didn't see the halftime crew. I'm sorry. I have no idea. I don't really watch the pre-post and halftimes.
That's no respect then.
Well, I can't. If I don't see them, how can I disrespect them?
It's Malika. It's Stephen A. Smith. It's Bob Myers, former GM of Golden State. And is it Perk?
It's Perk.
Oh, well, you know how I feel about that.
Tell people how you feel about it.
No.
Microphone? Share your thoughts on how you feel about it.
Why do I need to know why?
I'd be interested to hear your thoughts, and I'm sure all of Northeast Ohio and beyond.
Do they care?
And all our streamers of the Odyssey app around the world.
The fabulous Odyssey app, which is free.
I think they would love to know what you...
An Odyssey.
You want me to go person by person?
Yes, let's start out with Malika. Who, did she get married to former friend of the show, Dave McMenamin? I believe she did.
Congratulations to them.
Yes.
I hope that they have a long relationship.
First night out
forever.
With him. He had a welcome to Cleveland night out, former Syracuse grad, and didn't have too many after that because Dave wanted to keep his job.
Yeah, Lima's a
Dave
tough
had
one.
Much
Your
better,
priorities were in different places
Dave
at
had
the
a
time.
Much better job than I did at that time, and he wanted to keep that much
Guess
better
what?
Job.
He still got him.
Hey, come on!
But he gained a healthy respect of the Lima lifestyle. After
not,
that night.
No, and you're not tricking me into that.
Well,
I'm not going
This one's easy
through.
To do here. We normally do three. Just do four. Power Ranger right. NBA.
Let's go. Halftime game. I didn't even hear all the people that were there.
Bob Myers, number one.
All right, Bob Myers, number one.
Number one, because I'm actually getting basketball. I'm actually getting a detailed breakdown of what we just watched.
He convinced me he was Wally Zerbiak for a time there, too. They look.
Ooh,
they look
who's funny. Got the bet? You want a power rank full heads of hair?
All right, fine. I got to let this
You want to do that one?
Yo, hold on here. Here we go.
That's an all-timer. Wally Zerbiak. He's got a full back of hair, full front of hair.
Did he have a back of hair?
He has it all. The
Put your
hair,
feelings on back hair.
The hair is pouring out every orifice of his body.
My neighbor's got back hair, and then he grills shirtless, and then he looks at me like, are you okay with this? I'm like, I don't care. Food tastes good.
Oh, Wally strikes me as somebody who's doing the Brazilian waxes. One of the males that dares do a Brazilian.
What is a Brazilian wax?
Oh, that's the... Well, I was going to do a for the videos, the camera.
They can't see you.
I was going to turn around and bend over and show you exactly how to get to the Brazilian.
Where you put your Christmas trees.
Power rank the waxes. Here we go.
Let's go.
You're the one who's got waxed and all that stuff.
No, I've never waxed.
Paraffin.
Nothing. I knew you'd go there.
Candle.
Earwax.
Yummy, yum, yum.
You see the camera? We are digging a tunnel. No, I went all the way through once. It's amazing. Didn't hit anything.
Like Mad Magazine.
So it's good that you have a healthy respect of everybody involved.
I don't know if that's going to draw ratings. Though. I don't know if that's going to draw the general public.
It's not. So I did tell Ken, I do think the ratings, now the series, I'm guessing, will go 6 and maybe 7. If it goes 7, it's not going to get 2016 game 7, which I think peaked at like 40-some million. It's not doing that. But we've been around, 8 million the first two games, and we won't have, the game 3 numbers for a bit here. But this series is not going to draw well. It just isn't. And we've gone over the reasons why it's not going to draw well, but I think it shows you. This series is getting the baseline of diehard basketball fans to tune in.
Yeah.
And that's it. How can a series like this get somebody else? That it's not going to get,
man.
Like my sister,
I don't know,
watches the biggest NFL games all year. She doesn't care about the NFL, but they will get her because it's an event. Oh, it's at a party. Oh, it's on at a bar. They'll get her that way as a casual fan. If everybody around her tells her, oh, it's the AFC Championship game, the winner goes to the Super Bowl. Well, okay. Then my sister will watch. She has no shot of watching a Halliburton right now versus SGA NBA Finals matchup. There is nothing that could draw my sister in. Game 7, if you tell her with 2 minutes left and she's at a restaurant and the game is on, she'll look at her phone for the final 2 minutes. She will not tune in. So you're not going to get people like that. And that's always my barometer. Can it get, and I mistakenly used Owen as an example, but Owen watched last night. Owen's from Oklahoma.
But
we
put in a different thing, though. No, hold on. We put in a different tack to it. If Owen had his old job and did not work at the Fan, and did not have to consume sports for his job, just as general sports fan Owen, okay? Everything else, he just doesn't work at the Fan. Would he
but
watch?
I live in the area.
Would he watch the fight?
Yes.
Would he? Everything else is. And like you used to call into the Sports Talk radio show in Little Rock, Arkansas, yeah. Right? Okay, so he's a sports fan. Would you watch that game last night?
No.
There you go. There's your answer.
Okay, so how?
There's your answer. He's being honest with you.
So it would a game 7 be enough to get you in?
Probably. I'm just looking at it now. The great thing that they do for game 7 is it's on Sunday, right?
Yes.
It's going to be at a time. It's going to get the build up.
And this is why.
That's true. You have a whole weekend of.
That's why game 6s suck, because they're always on Fridays.
Yes.
And I'm going to do something else on Friday.
This is why they hate this. This is why, like, the people on, like, First Take and Lateral Hazard show, they, what'd you call it?
Lateral Hazard.
Yeah, it's Lateral Hazard.
That's not what it's called?
No. That's why in the morning on Lateral Hazard, this is why they hate this. And this is why, because I accused them, and I got this wrong a couple weeks ago. I go, all they're going to do is they're going to get in there and they're going to talk about ratings, mm-hmm. ratings. And I don't think the general sports fan,
which is what we're doing.
The Owen, if he never would have worked at the Fan or anything. No. I'm not complaining about ratings. I'm telling you why they do it. Mm-hmm. Because it's respectable basketball. It's just not juicy.
Yeah.
There's no juice. Yeah. There's a fan base in Indiana. Great. There's a fan base in Oklahoma City. And while you may hate their owner because he took the Supersonics away from Seattle and took them to Oklahoma, I got nothing against the people of Oklahoma City. They didn't have anything to do with that. They just got a basketball team.
It looks like they have the best synchronized home crowd in the world.
It'd be even better if they had a finals logo on the court, but that's a different conversation for later in the show. This is why they do it. Because it is so much easier. Look at the calendar. It is so much easier on June 12th during the finals to put superstar, and why one's greater than the other, and why one of them, like if LeBron plays in the finals and loses, why he'll never be you-know-who, and why you-know-who will never be the other one. Like it's always that. And they don't do that, and they get frustrated because they can't.
Well, we don't have even anybody to hate watch in this
series. Exactly. There's a respect for everyone. I don't hate Tyrese Halliburton.
Whose legacy is on the line in this series? Seriously. Whose legacy?
There is none.
Are we going to get up and scream?
None.
I guess if SGA he played poorly last night, right? After he played like an MVP the game before. If SGA struggles the rest of the series – His legacy is not going to be tarnished, yeah. but it'll be, oh, this is why you're not Kobe. This is why you're not Michael Jordan, despite having the stats, some of the best stats of any guard
Nobody's
in the history
saying
of the
he is
game.
Anyway. He's right. an MVP, but his he's only season, 26. Though. He'll be 27
right. no,
next
you're,
month.
You're right, but the only thing people have said is, and rightfully so, if you look at all his advanced numbers this year and the team success, it's one of the great guard years in NBA history this
it
year.
It is, but was anybody, if they win the finals, was anybody going to tell you, hey, you know what, now he's on his way to Kobe? No.
If they
wanted to fill a segment,
ooh,
they would.
I don't know about that.
Really?
Because I think it would be...
No, I don't agree with that.
I think it would turn into, hello, did you just see the year he had? Oh, and by the way, he won MVP, and oh, by the way, he won NBA Finals MVP, and he has a championship. He's now a Hall of Famer. That stuff would all come into play, and then it would be like, if he does this two more times... Who's had a better run than that as a guard since Michael Jordan?
If he does that two more times, but yeah. you got to do it at least one more time to get in that conversation of can he do it two more times? But just doing it yeah. once, it
That's
isn't going to get
part.
You there.
Right.
You,
that
now,
is our
you
part.
You can lay the foundation and go, you know what? If he continues to do this.
See, this was the problem.
That's fine, but no one's going to rip on him
this
after something
This is the problem
like
I mean, with Nikola Jokic. He... has had four of the best NBA seasons we've ever seen consecutively from a center.
Uh-huh.
What didn't he do? He only got to that finals one time. Needs to get to the finals more, yeah. or he's never going to be treated despite all the numbers
and
in the world.
That is it. We're looking for the legacy in the NBA. It just matters so much more than it seems to in any of the other sports. The legacy conversation, the one-on-one factor to it. And if we're all just taking turns winning a finals 7 in 7 years, I can't have that conversation. I can't have that general sports fan conversation that we all say we're tired of, but every guy at the bar loves to have. That I mean, let's be honest, that people have built their entire careers on with some of those one-on-one conversations with all-time NBA greats. If you can't have that conversation, it's not going to lead to a lot of juice for the finals. But I'm not ripping on – I don't want to turn it into ripping on the finals. It's not, because it's not bad. I respect everything going on. I respect the entire broadcast, the play-by-play, the color analyst, the sideline reporting, from the refs to the guys on the floor. The guys on the floor. Like, it's all respectful. But it's not – it doesn't create a controversy that you and your buddies want to get into an argument about at a bar. Don in Cleveland, you're next up on the fan. Hello, Don.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing well, Don. Go right on ahead.
So you ask, what's at stake for these finals? Whose legacy? In my opinion, it's the NBA's legacy. Not that the NBA is going away anytime soon. It's not. But ever since LeBron left the East, nobody's repeated. There's been no player that's taken over and dominated and, like you said, been included in any kind of the conversations of he's entering the greatest ever of his generation or the GOAT or anything like that. And also, like you said, and I don't know how much you pay attention across all the platforms of social media, that's a conversation that takes place like 48 million times a day everywhere. It's not. Yes. And you're right. Yes. It does not happen for any other sport. No one's arguing Montana and Brady.
Yeah.
No one's arguing Bonds and
No one gatekeeps yes. more than basketball fans from different generations.
It's the NBA, and there's nothing really wrong with it, but I consider myself kind of an old-school NBA guy. I've seen all these guys play in their prime, and I've seen LeBron. Like, it isn't the same. I would be watching more if it just fit my schedule. I'm not able to see all these games, but if I could, I would.
Yeah.
So you can include me in the millions that watch, but it's not like it was. I'm sorry. Even for LeBron haters, it just isn't. They watch because they wanted LeBron to lose. They wanted to hate.
Yeah, it's
interesting. I'm just watching to kind of see, like, does Indiana really pull this off? They're not supposed to, but do they? So it's the NBA's legacy that's online there, not really a player's.
You're right about that, Don. Thank you very much for the call. 216-474-0092. That was a great call by Don. This is going to turn into a knockdown dragout, so we might as well play the audio. Here is Jonathan Peterlin. He was with Danny Cunningham yesterday. This is from yesterday, right?
I believe so, yes.
Here's Peterlin yesterday, where I thought this was a silly thing to say, but one person in the room didn't. Go ahead.
It boils down to something interesting. Like, how willing are you to move one of the two rookies instead of one of the two veterans?
I would be willing to move Dylan Gabriel. I really would. And I would be willing to move Kenny Pickett, too.
I would bet 99% of our fan base can say, I'll pack Dylan Gabriel's bags for him.
Yeah.
You know, I'll make that move 11 times out of 10. If you can get a charcuterie board and a pick for Dylan Gabriel, I'll go ahead and take that. And I think a lot of people would be willing to say that about Kenny Pickett, excuse me. I don't think anybody in our audience right now is willing to say that about Shedeur Sanders.
I would agree with that.
I'm not going to find anybody that's going to say that about Shedeur.
Okay, that's asinine. Flatly. If you agree with that, fine. And Lima seems to agree with that. I think that's ridiculous. They are still in OTAs or mandatory mini camp. They're running around in their underwear. I don't know. This is not an argument even for Dylan Gabriel that says he's the next big thing. Good God, the draft was 2 months ago. And we're talking about packing someone's bags. Now, for Kenny Pickett, I'm not saying no for Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett, we've already seen in the NFL, and Kenny Pickett does have the knock against him that he's a former Steelers quarterback, all right? That, I can't say that fans wouldn't want to do that. But when it comes to Dylan Gabriel, he's a rookie. He's a rookie. You don't know what the package is. You don't know. As much as you think you know, there is part of you going, what if he is great? Quarterbacks are different than they've ever been. Everybody, now it's a different league than it's ever been. It's not the typical drop back quarterback. We've talked about that a million times. They're all different. There is not a chance in hell that I think even the majority of fans want to pack Dylan Gabriel's bags for him. For what? On June 12th? For what? Why?
Shedeur
Sanders craziness?
Yeah, Kenny, I would agree that rationally that's dumb.
And but I'm not going to accuse fans of being irrational on June 12th.
But in this case, I mean, it's Dylan Gabriel. Every shot you see of him, it's a question about his height. How could he possibly play this position
in
the NFL?
That's because we just question about his height. For the love of God, they took him in the third round. They obviously feel passionate about him.
I do believe if you polled everybody in the area right now, he would be the one. Well, Kenny Pickett, too. But if you're talking about between him and Shedeur Sanders, I mean, yeah, I think it would be. I don't think it'd be 99%, but I think it'd be really, really high.
But I don't think
he's the one people are least excited about, least curious about. They don't want to see him get reps. They want to see Shedeur get every rep as possible with our real receivers, not guys that are, you know, not going to be doing this for a living. Like, I think that's just in my interactions with people on a daily basis in real life. Like, they don't want any part. They don't understand why we took Dylan Gabriel to begin with in the third round.
The people I talk to on a daily basis and my real walk of life, you and I talk to each other like eight times a day. So you say the real people. Who are these mysterious people that you talk to that I all of a sudden don't know now? Either way, the people that I talk to, they don't feel that way towards Dylan Gabriel. They think that Shedeur Sanders has a higher ceiling, which I think a lot of people do. But they're not, quote unquote, packing his bags and trading charcuterie boards for Dylan Gabriel. No one's doing that in June in Cleveland. And that's the type of thing. That's why we get cussed out by fans on Twitter. Nobody's doing that. Nobody. Prove me wrong. 216-474-0092. I'll ask the question. I'll entertain the question. I just think it's ridiculous. 99% of Browns fans are just willing to pack his bags and get him out of here.
I do think there is a percentage of fans who wanted nothing to do with Shedeur Sanders because they thought it was going to be a circus. I have not seen a circus.
I have not seen a circus either, but that's why I can say it's not 99%.
But I don't. Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, I think a lot of people were sensitive to Shedeur Sanders because I don't think a lot of people watch. I think that less people than I thought watch Colorado over these last 2 years. And they just heard about pomp and circumstance, the rock on the sidelines, Deion calling out guys at the press conference. And they just didn't, you know, over these last how many years, we've always kind of went after the sizzle. There's been no steak. And I think a lot of people were really sensitive to something like that. I haven't seen anything like that. As far as I know, quite to the contrary, Greg Newsom is falling all over himself with praise over Shedeur Sanders in the media the other day. I don't think it's been like that either. I agree with you. And yes, I think so many more fans would feel that Shedeur Sanders, a guy who some people said should have been a top 10 guy, some people said should have been an early Friday night guy, ended up falling to the fifth round. So there's got to be more potential than what Dylan Gabriel has.
I think that's all it is, too. Nobody cares about when guys get drafted normally in the third round. normally that's a guy that's probably going to be a backup. You're hoping he can cling to a backup. No one's interested in developing a backup on a team that is projected to be one of the worst in football. Nobody really cares about that. Shador is the guy that slipped. We were wondering, did he really have a first-round grade at all? But just because fans had talked about him number two overall at all, as misguided as that might have been, and I'm part of that, and I was guilty of that, I think that is still in their head. So, of course, they're going to want to see that guy because that guy is going to have a bigger ceiling, at least in theory.
Okay, 216-474-0092. Am I wrong? Do you want Dylan Gabriel? Do you even want Dylan Gabriel on the Browns? Because is that not what Jonathan's saying, that people don't even want him on the Browns? Okay.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
packing his bags.
99% of the fans out there packing his bags for him. I think that's pretty strong commentary right there. Eddie and Westlake. Eddie, you're next up on the fan.
Hey, guys. So, look, I mean, you know what? I agree with Lima 100%. And see, that's what the thing is. The Browns liked him, you know, and we always. You know, you guys talked about this the other day. You said, you know, it doesn't matter when these guys are drafted. It's how the teams view them. The Browns just got their backup quarterback for the next 4 years with the 94th pick. So, I mean, he's entrenched as the backup quarterback just because history says that at his height, he's not going to be a starter in the National Football League without an elite quality, which he does not have. So that's why you're not getting excited about it.
He throws the arm stronger than any Browns quarterback in Browns history. He throws a faster ball than any Browns quarterback in Browns history. He does have elite arm strength. Next point. I just proved you wrong on that. Take that and then move on to the next point because you know it and I know it and all the listeners in Cleveland know it that you're wrong. So move on to the next point.
So wait a minute. Look, hear me out, okay? So the two, you say he has elite arm strength. Okay, that's fine.
I don't. NFL scouts say it. The speedometer says it.
That's mixed because they said it. But that's mixed now.
Okay. Say you're wrong and move on. It's easy to just say you're wrong and move on to the next thing, Eddie.
Okay, look, kid.
I do it all the time.
Over the last 30 years, if you can find me somebody else, please find me. Over the last 30 years, there's been two guys that have been at his height that have been elite. The two guys, elite arm strength was not their elite quality. It would have been Russell Wilson, which was the ability to extend plays, elite ability to extend plays, and Drew Brees, who was really tactical and surgical in the pocket with his feet. This dude is not either one.
But that doesn't answer the question.
So what I'm telling you is you took him with the 94th pick. If you look at poll the NFL, they all say that this was a mistake. This guy was overdrafted. If you want to say he wasn't, that's fine. Everybody, other 31 days say he was
I didn't say he wasn't overdrafted. I believe he's overdrafted. I agree with you on that.
That's really all you need to know right there.
Hold on. That doesn't answer the question. It doesn't answer the question. Do you believe that the vast majority, 99% seems pretty crazy, do you believe that the vast majority want to pack Dylan Gabriel's bags for him?
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
And they're not wanting to pack Shador Sanders' bag. That's for sure.
We've had 40 different – no one's saying that they're either or. We're talking about Dylan Gabriel. You're telling me a team that had 41 – or is it 40 or 41 now? I lose count. 40 different quarterbacks since 99? We're just packing guys' bags before we even saw him in a preseason game?
His bag is not going to get packed because one thing about Andrew Berry
is Eddie, you and I both know.
Yeah,
okay. Thank you for the call. You and I both know, Eddie, that he ain't going anywhere. He's going to make the 53.
Now, hypothetically, it should be easier to pack Dylan Gabriel's bags at 5'10 than Joe Flacco's bags at 6'6.
Not true at all.
The length of the clothes. Yeah, the clothes are much smaller.
Volume and mass. Know it, Ken.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to pack Wemby's bags.
That's
He's too
crazy.
Tall.
Of course.
I would imagine your suitcase cloth and my suitcase are the same size.
But that's the thing. The clothes.
But the volume in which you can fill.
Now, do you think like Flacco?
Maybe he wears more clothes than Shador Sanders.
Well, now we're getting into a different debate, and I want us to stay on topic here.
I'd like us to have that as well.
I want us to stay on topic. I don't want you to start throwing in factors that make your argument better.
What type of luggage did each guy use? Okay, never mind. You think Shador's luggage is more expensive?
Oh, yes.
He can afford more expensive luggage.
Now, most athletes do have the luxury baggage, if you've ever seen the baggage.
Well, isn't that the first thing you buy?
One of the most eye-opening experiences.
Not the offensive lineman, though.
In one of the most eye-opening experiences in my life was when I unloaded trucks at TJ Maxx, and I saw the luggage, and I go, people pay this much? And they go, oh, yeah, you don't know this? I go, like $600.
Oh, yeah.
And that was like
No.
$600. That's a discount price.
$600. No. Louis luggage goes for like $3,000 or $4,000.
There was no Louis. I think we had Tumi. I think there was Tumi, which was flying off the shelves in Montrose. Off the shelves. I could barely keep it in stock. I could barely get the tags on them quick enough. People were out there ripping them right out of my hands.
That's like a grand.
216-474-0092. People are sending me expensive luggage now. I don't even know. Oh, yeah, because of packing Dylan Gabriel's bags, and you said it would be easier to pack Dylan Gabriel's bags than
Joe Flacco's.
Than Joe Flacco's or Shedeur Sanders. To which Mitch found, because there's something you can find for everything. Sports Illustrated from Matt Ryan. This is back in May. Boy, they've been doing summer hacks since May. Shedeur Sanders flexes $5,900 luxury bag at Browns minicamp in casual two legendary fit. Good God almighty.
Yeah, there really is a luxury item for everything.
You sent me this thing called Hermes. This is
Hermes.
I can't even say it right.
Ken's only getting Hermes.
Your wife lets you get away with that when she tells you to go get her some Hermes?
I've never heard of this brand in my entire life. The luggage is $13,000. The luggage is $13,000. What a show we've had this week. $350 sushi.
We really know how to connect with our audience.
$13,000. Which, by the way, can I update you real quick?
Yes.
So you brought up the restaurant that your buddy went to, $350 just to sit in the place for your sushi.
The Tokyo style omakase. 24
courses. Courses, yes. And somebody who's a listener sent me, they went to San Francisco. They were only $225 a person. However, they sent me the bill. They sent me a picture of the bill. I'm not going to give away their name or anything like that. It was him and four other people. Oof. Do you want to know what the entire damage? Don't overguess because it kills
me. Yeah, I know.
But do you want to know what the entire damage was at this sushi place before we get back into shipping off Dylan Gabriel?
There's four of them?
There's five of them.
Well over $2,000, probably $3,000.
Owen?
24.75.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lima is going to the Showcase Showtown. They came in at $3,160.01.
Expense?
Good game.
I don't know if they were. They are doing very well there. It was $225 a person. The Wagyu they sent a picture of was fantastic. Then there's the bottles. They got sake for $400, $200 each on the bottle. $180 for something I can't even pronounce. Another liquor I can't even pronounce. And another liquor I can't even pronounce. There was something called the SF, which is San Francisco surcharge, I'm guessing.
So this is something I'm seeing in Cleveland now.
$106.
We're getting the San Francisco shirt.
Which is weird. In Cleveland? They shouldn't call it that.
$106 for the surcharge.
Ours would be $216.
Subtotal before gratuity was $2,200 with $2,220. $444 on the 20% gratuity. They left a $150 tip.
And I looked
on
up
top of the gratuity.
I looked up the place because you told us the name.
Yeah.
They have a kids menu.
Oh, all right.
All right. Real
How
quick.
Much is
How
much the
ki- oh, chicken nugs. How
it's
much?
It's the kids set. All right.
How you much get are the chicken thing? Fingers or the the fish sticks?
You get to take home a kid.
It's like a, I guess, a bento box. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's $65 for the kids. And you got to be 8 and under.
Ketchup included or no?
It is chicken thigh seasoned with salt and pepper. It does not say. You get corn with barbecue sauce, though.
$65?
Yeah.
You're eating every single morsel.
Yeah. They actually bring Miss Rachel to the table.
All right, back to the Dylan Gabriel. You want to play that clip real quick? Here is Jonathan Peterlin shooting his mouth off. About Dylan Gabriel afternoon drive. I'll busk for a second until he can find it because that was dumb by me. Here's Jonathan Peterlin and Danny Cunningham. Jonathan saying that 99% of fans would pack Dylan Gabriel's bags for him right now.
It boils down to something interesting. Like, how willing are you to move one of the two rookies instead of one of the two veterans?
I would be willing to move Dylan Gabriel. I really would. And I would be willing to move Kenny Pickett, too.
I would bet 99% of our fan base can say, I'll pack Dylan Gabriel's bags for him.
Yeah.
You know, I'll make that move 11 times out of 10. If you can get a charcuterie board and a pick for Dylan Gabriel, I'll go ahead and take that. And I think a lot of people would be willing to say that about Kenny Pickett, excuse me. I don't think anybody in our audience right now is willing to say that about Shador Sanders.
I would agree with that.
I'm not going to find anybody that's going to say that about Shador.
That's crazy. What do you? Hey, you call somebody up. Hey, I'm willing to move Dylan Gabriel. Did you just draft him in the third round? Yeah, go ahead and cut him. What are you talking about? We're going to trade Dylan Gabriel?
Happening.
No one's trading. You're not trading Dylan Gabriel. The fans aren't trading Dylan Gabriel. Because that's the question. Would the fans do it? And the Browns, everybody knows. Eddie Westlake called in. Everybody knows the Browns ain't going to do it. But you can't tell me Browns fans, far and wide, 99% of them are willing to trade away Dylan Gabriel right now? No. Tim in Syracuse, New York. He's listening on the Free Odyssey app. He's next up on the Fan. Hello.
Hey, Ken. I totally agree with you. There's no way that Dylan Gabriel's getting traded. Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, I totally see it. There's no way they're trading away potential young talent. I'd rather see Gabriel and Sanders start 12 games this year than Flacco and Pickett.
I agree. I think a lot of fans think that way. Hold on. Flacco and Pickett? Or I should say Pickett and Flacco? Flacco? I think a lot of fans love Joe Flacco, Tim.
I agree. I think a lot of fans do love him, but I think we've already seen his ceiling. I mean,
okay, that's a good point.
We're going to wait 7 games for him to get tired and start throwing pick sixes?
More than likely. I think, honestly, because this is a delicate dance. This is why, for me, like, I probably wouldn't have traded for Kenny Pickett, but I didn't know what they were planning on doing, Tim. Thank you very much for the call. Like, when they traded for Kenny Pickett, I'm not sure exactly when they did. Was that before or after Jimmy Haslam had said, like, hey, we're not forced to take on a quarterback this year? Because that, when the owner's willing to say it, that's what changed, I think, a lot of people's opinions in town, in the media, as well as the fan base on taking a quarterback.
Say they traded before that.
Okay, so if they traded before Kenny Pickett, it's like, okay, Kenny's going to start the season, and then we'll have someone else. Then they brought Joe Flacco in. Then I really just thought they were going to take just Dylan Gabriel, or not, they were going to take a third quarterback, and that's it. Didn't think they were going to take Dylan Gabriel. And that's going to be it. I think with Joe, reasonably for a lot of fans, I think Joe keeps your attention to start things off because you did go to the playoffs in 2023. There's good memories there. But also, you're getting an adult in the room. Hate to keep bringing up that term. You're getting a real adult in the room. A guy that you know the locker room does respect. A guy that a lot of the fan base respects. So you want to talk about 99%. I think 99% of the fan base really respects Joe Flacco. And yeah, I know that gas is going to run out probably sooner than later, and then eventually you're going to move on to the other QBs. And I don't know if that's Kenny Pickett or Dylan Gabriel or Shador Sanders or which one is the odd man out, other than I don't think that Shador Sanders is getting traded or getting cut at all, and I really don't think Dylan Gabriel is getting cut at all. But I think they may just roll with Kenny Pickett to start the season, and that concerns me. Because I don't know the type of leadership that Kenny Pickett has been able to show within this locker room so far this year. It's very early in the process. And you listen to different people. Aditi has said it the whole way through. Good teammate, good guy, that whole deal. But on the other side of it, Pittsburgh said every bad thing you could about the guy on his way out the door. So I have to take everything and say, what can he prove? It's already been proven. It's already been proven with Joe Flacco. Kenny Pickett hasn't proven anything, and the other two are rookies. So you want to see what the other two are able to do. So with the fan base, I don't think that the fan base wants to move on from any of the guys right now, maybe. Maybe Kenny Pickett the most. That's it.
Well, Pickett was the first one.
But I don't think any of them really want to do it.
And I think you led the charge on that until, you know, he ended up being the guy they're talking about getting real reps.
Well, wait, hold on. Don't act like I'm rah-rah Kenny Pickett
here.
You know what I think of Kenny Pickett. I'm
not
going to sit there and lie to people out of nowhere. That ain't going to happen.
No, what I'm saying is you led the charge when he was in Pittsburgh of, holy cow, they're putting their hopes and dreams behind Kenny Pickett. Even the way you would say Kenny Pickett's name, it was very dehumanizing.
Yeah, you do that. Well, not dehumanizing for crying out loud. Let's not go that far.
But yeah, human to you.
You load the language. You load the lips. That's how you do it. You know how to do it. I know how to do it. And damn it, I did it. Because he was a Pittsburgh Steeler. Now he's a Brown. I still don't have a lot of faith in him. I hope that changes because I'm open-minded about all four guys. Joe, we all know more than we know about the other three. I don't think any fan is packing anybody's bags for anybody right now, for that matter. They're in mini camp. Pack bag for what? Because we want to see Shador get all the reps we can? I mean, there's probably some people out there, but there's probably some people out there for every opinion you could possibly think of. But when we're talking majorities, I think the vast majority of Browns fans are going, hey, as of right now, as of June 12th and probably June 13th and 14th, they're taking a quarterback with one of those picks or both of those picks to move up in the first round next year. So let's see what any of these guys have. And I think Browns fans at quarterback right now are as open-minded as they've ever been. And I would love for any of these fans to prove me wrong, because right now I'm getting a bunch of people just agreeing.